organizations, solidarity organizations,
like
and Filipinos who reside here.
Okay. So okay, and I was wondering if why did you choose Holland?
I happen to be here.
Just by coincidence?
But before me, Luis Halandoni, who is the who has long been the international representative of the NDF, had been here. He has been here since I think late 70s.
Okay.
So I came here only in 1987. So, and then when my passport was cancelled by the Aquino regime, I happened to be here. And of course, there is the disadvantage, there is the advantage of Filipinos.
Here?
Being
a community
already,
here.
Yes.
So you don't feel that abroad? Or
yes.
Do you feel... how is it to live in Holland for you?
Well,
you're
fine,
already 20 years away from your homeland.
The landscape is good, the people, but more important than the landscape, the people are hospitable.
Yeah.
But my problem is not with the people, but with the government, no? Which follows what the U.S. Tells it to do.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the U.S. and the Philippine government... are in combination with each other.
Yeah,
of course they have some common interest. The one website publication of the foreign ministry says, "Oh, there's no problem between the Philippines and the Netherlands. We have plenty of investments there." You know, the biggest investment. The biggest investment that the Netherlands has, you know, is the Malampaya Sound Project. Shell, British, Dutch Shell in combination with Chevron, Chevron and Texaco.
And what has that to do with you? You think? What has that to do with you? With your with your situation? That political context.
I beg your pardon.
What do you think the your situation has to do with that political context of the of Holland? And the Philippines?
Well, right now, my role now, or position, is that of chief political consultant of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines in connection with the peace negotiations with the Manila government.
Okay.
So, that's the position I have. And then, you see, the Philippine government, especially, particularly the Arroyo regime, thinks that it can destroy the national liberation movement in the Philippines or compel it to surrender if it would use the post 9/11 hysteria and the Bush policies.
Has it become
of
worse?
War of terror. Right? It's you know, Bush is conducting his own kind of terrorism
on you.
Yes, and on so many people. You know, Bush and Bin Laden are good friends. They help each other.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
Yeah,
a lot of people in Western countries think otherwise, I guess.
No, no, but you see,
you see a conspiracy.
I don't know, isn't but you know, after 9/11, Bush, father and son, made sure that the entire Bin Laden family would be safely would safely fly out, no? And the U.S. forces were already were about to come upon the Al Qaeda in Tora Tora, but then suddenly the forces were shifted to Iraq for the war of aggression in Iraq. So. You know, the Bush, what I call the terrorism of Bush, is a global war of terror. It consists of wars of aggression, especially in Iraq now.
Yeah.
Then you have this global campaign to make fascist laws, no? Mm-hmm. In the name of anti-terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the laws you're suffering from?
Yes, in the Philippines, there is now only recent, this recent, no?
Yeah.
Yesterday was supposed to be the day for starting the implementation of the Anti-Terror Act in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the encouragement to state terrorism, especially in subservient or puppet countries, mm-hmm. I mean to say, where there is a puppet government, as in the Philippines.
You mean puppet with that they're very much influenced by Bush and...
The Philippines is a standout, no? In the so-called global campaign against terror, you see? Mm-hmm. It is the second front, no?
Yeah.
At the time that the Bush went into Afghanistan, the U.S. went into Afghanistan, mm-hmm. the Philippines was called the Second Front. And then when the U.S. went to Iraq, it said the same thing. Philippines is the Second Front, and then 9/11 became the excuse for troops, U.S. troops to go into the Philippines. But anyway, there are the problem there that they are pointing to is supposed mm-hmm. to be Abu Sayyaf.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be friendly to Al-Qaeda, but it was created by the CIA in 1991. But anyway, there is the encouragement to state terrorism in the Philippines. So you have the extrajudicial killings, the abductions, and then hundreds of legal activists, and then you have massive displacement of people mm-hmm. amounting to 1 million out of the 3 million accumulated internal refugees in the Philippines. More than 1 million were displaced during the time of the Arroyo regime and under this regime of Bush. Policy, post 9/11 policy, and then what is called specifically the mm-hmm. operational plan Bantay Laya mm-hmm. 1 and 2.
What's that?
Bantay Laya is the name of the operational plan for killing people mm-hmm. extrajudicially without bringing them to prison and trying them.
It's a sort of Abu Ghraib in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Sort of Abu Ghraib in the Philippines.
There are many are killed in the open field. They are not even brought to any safe house. Others are killed in safe houses, and maybe they are brought to military camps.
And are those also killed members of the NDF or mm-hmm. the NDA?
I beg your pardon?
Are those also members of the of your party, the Communist Party?
I wouldn't be able to say whether those being abducted, those being kidnapped, mm-hmm. belong to the NP or not. But mm-hmm. The UN mm-hmm. special rapporteur on disappearances and abductions and on other. Types of human rights violations have found mm-hmm. out that the victims, if surviving, they manage to escape. They say it's the military doing it, and they are legal activists.
Yeah.
And then there are also those killed, but before they are threatened, they are killed or kidnapped. They are the targets of. Military propaganda that they belong to the NPA, so they are enemies of the state and they are open mm-hmm. targets. So, and then of course the families, the colleagues of these people who are abducted or killed and tortured, they testify that. It's the military taking advantage of them. These victims are not armed, and they belong to mass organizations mm-hmm. Like those of workers, peasants, youth, women.
But the NDA is armed, isn't it?
Yes.
The NDA is armed.
The MPA, you mean?
The MPA, yeah.
Yes, there is a civil war going on in the Philippines since 1969.
Yeah.
So, but then, you know, people have a right to.
That's not the military. The military organization of the NDF, isn't it?
Yeah, the NPA belongs to the to the National Democratic Front of the Philippines.
And some people say that you're on the list of terrorists because you have connections with that military.
Yeah, I'm accused of being chairman of the Communist Party of the Philippines and therefore head of the New People's Center and therefore responsible for the acts of the NPA.
Yeah.
But in a, in a decision, of the Philippine Supreme Court last July the 2nd, no? The 2nd of July, no? You see, my name is at the top of all those accused, 51 accused.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court dismissed the charge and it rendered, nullified the supposed information and evidence against us, all 51. So, and in the military and the Department of Justice, the prosecution, you see, was supposed to have collected their best evidence and best information against me and 50 others from 1969 to 2006.
Yeah.
Last year was the filing of that charge of rebellion. The Supreme Court described the evidence as worthless and ordered the lower court to dismiss the charge. So I'm legally clear even with regard to the Philippines.
But there's another but right now?
No.
So you're legally clear?
The Manila government has now a problem of inventing another
evidence.
Another set of evidence. All those, their best shots, they made their best shots against me and with regard to 1969 to 2006.
Yeah.
And according to my lawyers, with those, with the supposed evidence nullified or nullified by the Supreme Court, no less, it's let's say the Council of the European Union, the Dutch government, the U.S. government, and the Philippine government are have no basis at all for accusing me of being
no legal basis.
Chairman, no legal basis, and no factual basis now.
Oh.
No evidentiary, no evidence.
But how is it possible that you think? Do you think it's possible that you're still on that list?
Well, that's I'm not in command of the foolishness of certain foreign governments that follow the baton, the orders of the U.S. government. No, so you know, even here, in even with regard to the Council of the European Union, it did a stupid thing. It's actually attacks the rule of law.
Yeah.
You know,
by putting you
the Council of the European Union knew very well that the European Court of First Instance was supposed to be to make a decision on my case since May 30th of May last year, no? But you know, it suddenly made a decision. This Council of the European Union suddenly made a decision on the 28th of June this year, putting me in this blacklist.
Yeah.
And it repeats the same lies. It makes only two lies. One lie is that I'm head of the NPA, and therefore I'm responsible for alleged terrorist acts.
Something that followed you.
Yeah.
Everywhere during the last 20 years. Do you think it's
we should prove that how can I head the and direct the NPA? I can be responsible for its acts. I've been here more than 20. I've been outside 30, of the village more than 20 years. More than 20 years.
Yeah.
I've been here since 1987.
Yeah, 20 years. Yeah.
And so it's and then the other lie is that certain court decisions in the Netherlands, which are actually in my favor, mm-hmm. are misrepresented, no? Mm-hmm. As, let's say, as court decisions pointing to me as responsible for terrorism. Mm-hmm. There are no such court decisions finding me a terrorist, no? Mm-hmm. They refer to the court decisions of 1992 mm-hmm. and 1995 regarding my asylum case mm-hmm. made by the Raad van State, no?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's the Abdeling Bestuursrecht, the judicial department of the highest administrative court, that is the Raad van State. It said, against the accusations of the Ministry of Justice, that I am responsible for acts of the NPA. The Raad van State said there is no sufficient evidence to prove that, and I am not one to be excluded under Article 1F of the Refugee Convention, but I am recognized mm-hmm. As a political refugee under Article 1A mm-hmm. of the Refugee Convention. It means I'm clear.
But they think you're a rather dangerous political refugee.
Well, that is their political judgment, but you know,
that's
asylum case is a juridical thing.
Yeah, of course.
After you establish that someone is really bona fide.
Yeah.
You know, if
Do you think the Dutch government and the EU think you're bona fide?
Because if they follow their own court rulings of the Dutch government, it is the Raad van State and the REK, this court for aliens, no?
Mm-hmm.
So it says. All these court decisions say that I am a recognized political refugee under Article 1A of the Refugee Convention, and that I am protected by Article 3 of the European Convention on Human Rights. That's the reason why I cannot be removed from the Netherlands.
Do you feel protected here at the moment?
Of course, I'm targeted, no? By the governments following the wishes of the U.S., I should be protected by the Dutch government.
But do you when you're living here in Utrecht? Do you feel?
I feel very much threatened because the Dutch government has been active in pushing this blacklisting of me in the Council of the European Convention. You know, I was. Within 24 hours that the U.S. government put me on the blacklist on August 12, 2002, on August 13, the Dutch government made its own sanctie regeling take terrorism. No?
Yeah.
And then the Dutch government repealed. repealed that sanction, that blacklisting of me.
Yeah.
But then it was the one pushing, pushing the Council of the European Union to put me in the European Union list. So October 28th, I was put on the European list, no?
Yeah.
And then, of course, any indication before the European Court of First Instance, the Dutch government and the British government, the governments closest to the U.S. in Europe, no?
Mm-hmm.
Supported the Council of the European Union.
So they're following
the
U.S.
In the case,
they're following the U.S. blindly.
Blindly, yes, because you know, right here in Europe, you know, there is a degradation of the standards of protecting guaranteeing and protecting the civil and political rights of people in
because of anti-terrorism.
Yes, in the name of that. So,
you think you're a victim?
Oh, yes, I feel threatened. Many friends tell me you might be, because you are stigmatized as a terrorist, any crazy guy is already under incitement to hate you and cause violence on you. That is the problem. I feel threatened, and even the European states allow the kidnapping of people. There are many cases of the so-called renditions. No, the CIA can just take anyone and bring him to some other country for torture by other governments, or they're brought to some secret prisons in Eastern Europe, or they're brought to Guantanamo.
Yeah.
So we are under Imperial Rome.
Yeah. Do you miss?
Hmm?
Do you miss your country?
Of course, I miss the Philippines.
You've never been there since 87?
Since 86, October.
Okay, you've never set any foot on...
Never, yes. So that means more than 21 years.
Do you want to go back?
Of course. When the conditions are good...
When do you think...
No, there is also, you see, it's not only a matter of my choice.
And, it's not...
Because I am a consultant in the peace negotiations, if I go to the Philippines, and I will be, then that will affect my role as a consultant in the peace negotiations. Because in the framework of the peace negotiations, those are to be held in a foreign neutral venue.
Yeah.
If I return to the Philippines, then I'll upset this framework.
And they are not.
And then it would be most disadvantageous to the National Democratic Front of the Philippines. You know, in 1986, the NDFP agreed to talk in Manila, in the Philippines. And the intelligence simply watched, and then after a few months, they killed so many of not only NDF personnel, but even the allies and friends of NDF.
Yeah.
So it's quite dangerous for the NDF to hold negotiations in the Philippines.
Okay.
And anyway, the Manila government, even under Arroyo, agreed to have the negotiations abroad. That was something established during the time of President Ramos. And then in addition, under Arroyo, the Norwegian government the Norwegian government became the third party facilitator.
And now it's you in Utrecht.
Yeah, I still stay here. There's no other place. You know, if I move out of this country, then